is this weekend. Stan and I are going to talk about what we've seen the first 2 days and make our picks for the weekend. The New Orleans Pelicans are still in the Orlando bubble, at least for the next couple of days, because they are kind of drawing dead in their playoff aspirations. We'll talk about that. And then the SEC has made their conference schedules for their 10-game conference season that we hope is able to go off. We'll talk about how LSU's got a pretty quiet ride. The two games that we're added are going to be very favorable to Tiger fans. But we lead off today with the big high school news. Last Saturday we talked and we said, hey, look, the governor's going to give us some guidance this week that is going to give us great answers. And we said by our next show we would have a very clear picture of where things are headed. And boy, do we ever. The LHSA earlier this week, based on Governor Edwards' decision to extend Phase 2 until the end of August, they have postponed the start of high school football season until early October. But with that guidance having been issued, they have also said that cross country and swimming can go on as soon as school begins. They have said that volleyball could go on as soon as we get into Phase 3, whenever that may be. And then more specifically than all this, Stan, is the LHSA yesterday released guidance that was sports specific. They released a memo that says very clearly, hey, if you're in football, you could do this, this, and this. If you're in volleyball, you could do this, this, and this. And on one hand, I'm sitting to myself here and, you know, I'm reading the guidance and I'm thinking, hey, it's great that we have a plan. On the other hand, I'm reading the guidance, seeing what's in it, and thinking to myself, my God, it's going to be very difficult to be a coach in 2020 because some of this stuff is so different from anything that we've ever seen in the past.
Yeah, but, you know, everything was vague in the past, too, so it's kind of nice to have some specific direction going forward, and that's exactly what that memo yesterday did. It put out some rock-solid guidelines as far as going forward. And I got to tell you, although a lot of the coaches are going to have to overcome a lot, I think they are kind of excited. It's okay, because at least you're telling me what we need to do going forward. We have a start date that's sort of etched in stone now. And when I say etched in stone, I know October 8th is that, you know, that landmark, that first week. There's a chance they even play a jamboree the week before that. So that being said, you know, at least we kind of know from a football perspective of when things are going to start. And heck, the guys who are related to swimming and cross country, they're full steam ahead. As a matter of fact, you know, we found out this week that both LaBouche and Terrebonne Parish are allowing the athletes to go back into school to train starting on Monday. So a lot of people who thought, well, wait a minute, why would you want your football team going back in this early considering they're not playing their first playing date till October 8th? Because I guess if you think about it realistically, this in past years is kind of like the month of July for those guys, if that makes any kind of sense whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So that being said, a lot of the guys said, well, wait a minute, you know, we still did condition and work out in July. So there's a lot to be gained. Not only that, you have some schools who have been going rock steady for 3 weeks and some who have not. So there's a little catching up to do. But from a perspective of swimming and cross country, you got to get after it now. Those kids have to go back in because they have to get ready, and volleyball is going to follow right after. So, again, the vagueness of everything has kind of gone away, and now it's kind of like, here's the plan. Here's what we're going to do. We all realize that this is always fluid and things can change, but it's the most, and I'm not sure I'm using the right word, Casey, it's the most confident, it's the most straightforward kind of guidance and protocol that I've seen put in place that leads me to believe that something is going to happen, and it is going to happen going forward in the way that they set it up. So, I'm excited. I thought this week was a really good week.
So for anybody wondering, and we're going to list this from a perspective of football, and if you want to see this full plan, you can go to LaFoucheGazette.com. We have all 11 pages of the memo on the website. In the perspective of football, players must be 6 feet apart on the sideline. So you're asked, okay, well, how is that going to happen? They're going to extend the sideline boxes basically from end zone to allow for more space. Here's the one that I thought was interesting. Players must maintain proper social distancing of at least 6 feet apart when receiving coaching instruction. That's going to be hard on coaches to do, man. Like, in the heat of a game, a guy scores a touchdown or a player makes a mistake, commits a false start penalty. To know that that coach can't get within 6 feet of the player, that's so different from anything we've ever seen before. I got a feeling that we're going to have to just kind of do the best that we can because adrenaline and everything's going to take over at some instances.
Yeah, you know what I thought of initially when they had, when I saw that rule, I thought, you know, there's these teams that actually run in plays with their wide receivers, right? So the wide receiver, or even the quarterback. The quarterback will run to the sideline and get the play from the coach, and the coach will, well, they can't get within 6 feet of each other. So I would imagine you could have a lot of cornerbacks walking over with the receivers towards the sideline because obviously they can't get close enough to keep it quiet. So everybody's going to be in on the gist, if you understand what I'm saying. That's what I initially thought. I know they're trying to keep everybody safe, and if we have to go through these little protocols along the way just to play football, you know, I'm good with that. I understand it. You know, moving forward, I do understand it. Again, you know, from the beginning of the week, us hearing about the University of Connecticut just doing away with football to the end of the week when we have a clear directive for the state of Louisiana related to football, volleyball, swimming, cross country, I was excited. I really think, and it's given me the best confidence boost that I've had in quite some time. I think this is going to happen.
Players who are not in the ball game are going to have to be wearing a mask at all times. All athletic trainers, chain crew, ball boys, statisticians, all that good stuff, they're going to all have to be masked if on the sideline. Players are going to be asked to keep their mouthpiece in throughout the entire game, whether in the game or not. Every player is going to have their own water bottle. The game balls are going to be cleaned and sanitized throughout the ball game. One thing I thought that they are doing that is going to be making sense is they're going to be, because of all of these restrictions and because of all of these changes, they're going to be extending the length of timeouts, meaning a timeout used to be 1 minute. It's now going to be 2 minutes just because, hey, man, it's going to take a little bit of time for a player to find his own water bottle. It's going to take a little bit of time for the managers to bring all of these different water bottles out onto the field. So I thought that was wise. Hey, we're going to make the timeouts a little longer and be willing to work with these teams who are going to be having to deal with a little bit more than normal.
Yeah, and one thing we must point out to all the listeners out there as related to having people in the stands, because a lot of people are still wondering about that, that is not going to be an LHSAA decision. That is going to be a decision that's incumbent on your school district and or your parish and or, quite honestly, your state. I mean, obviously, Governor Edwards may have something to say about all of that when it's said and done. But from the perspective of you're going to have people in the stands, yes or no, well, that depends. Now, it was brought up to me just this week by one of the high school staffs that we have a stadium where we can social distance. Our stadium is big enough. And if you think about it, all of the stadiums in Lafourche Parish, maybe not E.D. White to the extent of having everybody they want at a ball game, but as far as, you know, Central South and Thibodaux, and the two stadiums that are bigger in Terrebonne Parish, you can social distance and still have a lot of people in the stands. It just depends on if they want to do that or not. I'm not saying they are, but then you have some other fields that you can't. For example, Homa Christian, you know, there's pretty much no way you're going to social distance at Homa Christian's field, Warrior Field out on 311 in Homa near Highway 90. So that'll be a little bit of a logistical nightmare for them if they choose to have people at their game. But then you have, you know, CCA who plays at Nicholls State at John L. Guidry, and they can have everybody they want in that stadium because it's such a huge stadium. So there's still little things we're going to have to go through going forward. But, again, I think it's positive.
So let's give a rundown of how this is going to work. The season is going to be either 6, 7, or 8 games long based on when the LHSA is able to book the Mercedes-Benz Superdome for the state championships. If it's 8 games long, your season is going to start with your week 3 opponent. So week 1's and week 2, your schedule opponents for those 2 weeks are those games are virtually washed at this point. The postseason is going to be shrunk down from 32. We don't know exactly how many teams are going to be involved, but it's not going to be 32 in the bigger brackets. It's going to be a more condensed playoff. And one thing that I thought was really cool here, and even Truck may be able to comment on this, because this is an old school South Lafourche tradition here from way back in the day. Teams that don't make the playoffs are going to be able to match up against one another during the playoffs and have a bowl game. And I was thinking to myself, being the football historian down the bayou, that brought back memories of the old Shrimp Bowl back in the day that used to be so big and so prevalent. So thought it was interesting that if you don't make the playoffs, but you want to get an extra game, you could match up and find another opponent who didn't make the playoffs and have a bowl game. Curious to see if teams take advantage of those extra reps.
Yeah, and I'll piggyback off of that. I can remember in my first day as a coach, and so this is in the 80s. I know Assumption, a lot of times, if they did not make the playoffs, Assumption High School would actually go to Biloxi and play. I think they called it the Oil Bowl or something like that. So quite honestly, after the season was over, there was a time that if you didn't make the playoffs, you could go on and play in a quote-unquote bowl game. And it usually was a revenue maker for somebody, whether it was a nonprofit organization or something like that. It was kind of neat. And again, my early years of coaching, we used to get invitations that if you don't make the playoffs, hey, would you be interested in coming to play in this or that? So that might be kind of neat. I will say this. I am, and I guess, you know, I'm probably opening myself up for a lot of criticism when I say this. There's a 32-team bracket for 5A football, right? So I'm talking about classification football. If I'm not mistaken, there's 50 teams that play in 5A classification football. You might correct me, Casey, if I'm off on that a little bit.
Roughly it's correct, yeah.
So you're telling me 32 teams make the playoffs out of 48 state teams. It got so watered down these last few years. And I say last few years, I'd say in the last 10 years, that I'm not so sure that going to a, you know, splitting that bracket in half, is that's okay with me. That's perfectly fine. I mentioned this on another media outlet. I'm kind of tired of seeing these kids walking around with shirts saying, my school made the high school playoffs 6 years in a row, yet for the person who doesn't know, that high school automatically makes the playoffs before the season ever began, you know? So from that perspective, I'm kind of like, okay, so you do have to earn it just a little bit, so I'm okay with them knocking the bracket down. Now, you can't do that in select Division One, because there's only 12 teams, I think, anyway, or select Division Two, because there's only, like, I think it's up to around 24, but, you know, there's only a limited number in that pool of teams. But I'm okay with them cutting down the playoffs to add another game in there to make sure the kids get something that resembles a full season.
I hear you. So let's catch a quick commercial break. I want to let you guys know today we have three football coaches, but I promise you before the start of the athletic season, I promise you we're going to get some volleyball coaches and some swim coaches because their seasons are about to be starting, some cross country as well. Those sports matter too, but we know that football is the king. So we had three football coaches on today, but in our future episodes, we will get some of those other sports coaches on to talk about how things are looking from their perspective. But let's first catch a commercial break. When we get back, Kyle Lesang with E.D. White will be on the line. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute right here on ESPN 100.3.
Shrimp boats is a-coming, their sails are in sight.
Since 1948, 71 years, Hilario Brothers has been in the commercial fishing and shrimping supply business, stocking a large selection of 12-volt electrical and hydraulic single and double drum winches, hydraulic motors with brakes, beltless clutches, and pumps with brackets, hydraulic stainless steel skimmer winches, hydraulic valves, super winches, and hydraulic steering for up to 65-foot boats. They have a huge assortment of crab traps and crab trap wire, stocking nylon, plastic, and knotless webbing. You heard about that new webbing, Platina and knotless Dyneema. Hilario Brothers has some of that too. Hilario Brothers stocks shark tail netting. It's reinforced with stainless steel wire. They stock four different sizes of galvanized stabilizers. Also a large variety of fiberglass cloth, including resin, gel coat, and supplies. Lost an anchor? They've got anchors in stock from 5 pounds to 100 pounds. Visit Hilario Brothers before the season starts. Hilario Brothers, 894 Avenue A, West Wego. Call 504-341-1843. Visit their website, HilarioBrothers.com.
Terrebonne General Medical Center is taking the lead for our community in the fight against COVID-19. We are here on the front lines working for you to ensure the health and safety of our patients and staff. Our team is committed to best practices and the latest advancements in medicine and technology. We have been truly amazed by the unity in our community and are grateful to serve the people of our region. Together, we will get through this. For more information, visit tgmc.com.
We all make promises, big and small, tested over time and distance. tried by circumstances and decisions.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
I do solemnly swear to bear true faith and allegiance.
To help you when you're in need.
To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
To be considerate and caring. Courageous and strong.
For better.
For worse.
In sickness and in health.
To love and cherish.
To be your loving, faithful friend.
Partner.
Child.
Parent.
Neighbor.
One of our most important commitments is to support our nation's veterans. Learn how you can help a veteran going through a difficult time by visiting MakeTheConnection.net.
The MLB on ESPN Radio. The Houston Astros.
Unbelievable! Springer launches one up onto the train tracks and left.
The Oakland Athletics.
There's a fastball swung on and hit a ton. Way back and gone!
The Athletics.
The throw, Simeon slides and he's safe. And Oakland has the lead.
The Astros.
This one's gone. The Astros go back to back.
A's Astros. Saturday at 3:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Oh, I've been so excited to speak to our football coaches this week, but there's so much going on. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. The first coach on the list, ED White football coach Kyle Lesang's on the line. Coach Lesang, good morning, man. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. It's good to be on and be able to talk about football finally.
Absolutely, man. And that's the first question I'm going to lead off with to just know, you know, I mean, after all these weeks and months of, you know, hearing different things and not knowing if your season was going to be in the fall or the spring or whatever it may be, to know that there is a concrete start date on paper. And more important than the start date, I think, is the fact that you guys know what to and not to be doing and what to and not to expect whenever games are being played. I'm sure that's got to be a breath of fresh air, because now you guys could kind of make a plan and make a routine and kind of get some things ironed out on your end.
I think that's really been the toughest part, is trying to plan for the future. And usually, you know, every year you have things in place and you know exactly what you're going to do 6 weeks out and 4 weeks out and then 2 weeks out. But, you know, it's been really uncertain because of that. That start date gives you some vision of how you're going to proceed from here. You know, it seems to be a long way off, but I think it's going to get here before we know it. Hopefully when we hit October 8th, everything's good and we're allowed to play.
Coach, y'all have been in a situation where the kids have, for the most part, been in, and I know you've given them breaks along the way. Do you have to, because now it's sort of like we're in July, if it was a regular season, so to speak, going forward, do you have to curtail a little bit going forward? Do you have to readjust so that the kids kind of have their legs later on? Or do you just kind of continue? Because quite honestly, whether it was a full season or not, you're still ending the season when you were going to end it otherwise. Right. So I just wonder what your thought is on how you manage the kids as far as being ready to go late in the season.
I think for us, it's maybe a little bit different than a lot of places, because we went through the summer full steam, didn't take a break. Had our kids here 4 days a week, and had over 90% participation from our kids. So we really didn't start. So from that perspective, I think you have to be smart about how we practice and what we do. And we were this week. We went 4 days this week. I kind of gauged on Thursday that maybe we're getting a little bit tired. We're here on the turf, and the turf has been, you know, probably 110, 115 degrees on the turf. I know my coaches were feeling it. You know, we decided to take Friday off, and I think we're going to have to do that from here on out. We're going to have to gauge how we're going to proceed with it, depending on how our kids react to it. Of course, there wasn't any contact, but just the fact that we were out in the heat. And really, for our coaches, it was tougher than normal, because we had 100 kids out. So we basically split it into two practices. had a first practice and a second practice, and that was 50 kids. And then we took those 50 and we split them into offense and defense for 25 per section. So, you know, coaches were out here for 4 hours. We were getting home at 7 o'clock, and it was brutal. So we're going to figure out better ways to do that. But if we're still limited to 25, it's a tough deal.
Coach, you guys have so much housekeeping now that needs to be done. And what I mean by that is every kid that's not in the game is going to have to be wearing a mask. Every player is going to have their own water bottle, and everybody's going to have to be 6 feet apart on the sidelines. Whose responsibility is that going to be? Are you going to delegate that towards your assistant coaches? Are you going to have more managers? Like, whose role is that going to be to make sure those things are being enforced?
You know, Casey, when I think about that, I want my coaches coaching. I don't want them to be any different than we have them any Friday night. And I think if you do, you're taking away from our kids. You're not as good as you can be. So that has yet to be discussed. I think we're going to have extra personnel on the sideline, because I don't want my coaches having to look back and make sure that a kid is 6 feet apart from his buddy, or he has his mask on or anything like that. So I've yet to talk to the AD about that. But that's going to be somebody else's responsibility. I just can't see playing a football game and having my, you know, my D-line coach have to make sure that kids are 6 feet apart. I don't think we do justice to the game if we do that. So I really think that's going to be somebody else's arena.
That is interesting that you'll have, like, John Doe, offensive line coach, Bill Price, you know, defensive line coach, and then, you know, Billy Squire, and he's your COVID coach, you know? That's a wild time. You know, somebody told me this too, Kyle, during the week, and it was actually somebody that we both have in common that we both know. And he said, you know, as a head coach, it's a different world, not only because you always had to answer questions to everybody, you know, your assistant coaches, your parents, your kids who play for you. But now, especially when you have to deal with parents, so I'll go singularly there, talking about parents. Now, when it's a COVID situation, these parents want to know, well, wait, we did this weekend. Am I okay to go, Coach Lesang? Wait, we did this weekend, Coach. Am I okay to go with this? Hey, Coach, my kid came home today and said he was standing next to a kid who coughed at practice. What should I do? Does that happen to you? And is that something that I think we all just take for granted is something that's easy to handle, but man, all of a sudden you have to be Joe expert related to all of this.
That's been a really tough part. It's something that you really, especially here at E.D. White, where kids want to be here and want to practice and want to work out, and it's really never an issue with whether you're going to show up or not, but you really have to, as the coach, you have to err on the side of safety. And if a parent who's ultimately going to make a decision decides that he doesn't want his kid around workouts or around other players, then, you know, for me, I have to respect that. You know, I've got three of my own kids. Two of them graduated. One of them still in high school. But I see that part of the scenario that I think we have to do everything we can to be safe. And I think we are. And for me as a coach, if we weren't, I wouldn't be comfortable being here every day, but I'm very comfortable with what we do. You know, at some point you have to get ready for a football season. So I think that we do what we're expected to do. But ultimately, if a parent decides that's not enough, then they have that right to keep their kid away. That's been really few and far between. We really haven't had a ton of issues with it, but it really, you know, for those hard-nosed coaches that don't want to excuse anything, that's been a change for them because of the scenario.
You lose your week one and your week two, which means no game against Vanderbilt, no games against H.L. Bourgeois. And it gets you also kind of bridges that gap between when you start district play and when you don't. And I know that today's day and age, you know, district doesn't mean as much as it used to, because every game counts the same with the PowerPoints. But with a condensed schedule, you don't have as much leeway. Like, you got to hit the ground rolling, you know, because you only got 8 games to make that impression and to earn those points. Just talk about, you know, the condensed schedule and what that's going to mean for you guys.
Well, for us, first of all, it means we lose two home games, so we lose some revenue. which is, you know, I guess that's, you know, best case scenario is let's play football. So we're really at a disadvantage because we're going to play three home games and five road games this year. Another thing that I thought was, you know, film. You're not going to be able to scout your first opponent. You're not going to have anything on them. So for us, that's assumption. That's Coach Menard who's taking over. It's a new system for those guys. It makes it difficult for us. And then, you know, for us, it's going to be Assumption and South Terrebonne, St. Charles right there before district starts. So really tough part of the schedule without any jamboree or scrimmage is a difficult part. But listen, our kids would go play anybody. I don't think that is going to deter us from attacking the season the way we have. I think that, you know, some of the worries about district are gone because of the PowerPoint thing. So just going to play out your schedule and see how it goes. Of course, we don't really know, not certain about how the playoffs are going to work this year as well. So you're really going to have to win some games if there's qualifying to get in the playoffs. You know, for us before this, it was on the select side. We were automatically in the playoffs. You didn't worry about that. You knew where you were in. So until that's kind of finalized, we don't really know what that means, but, you know, we've got to be ready for our first opponent any way you slice it.
And I'm not sure, are we in the second year of the scheduling? I know it's two
yes.
years usually that you sign, so it is the second year. Because
yes.
I would hope that if you did lose those first two games that whoever you're scheduling with in the future would understand that as far as maybe, I don't know, making up some revenue going forward. Again, you talked about district and being in district and going forward and what it means to get into the playoffs. Is there any part of you that, although I understand that you'll play anywhere that you are seated or whatever in the playoffs or whoever you have to play in the playoffs, but is there any part of you that's like, I kind of hope this year they do it where maybe we might have to play and the kids will be motivated to get in the playoffs one. And then when we do get into the playoffs, it's not the same 12 teams that you've been seeing year in and year out related to Division II?
Stan, I've always been a proponent of getting this thing back together. I don't want to automatically be in the playoffs. I want to earn my right to be in the playoffs. And it's just something wrong about that. It's something wrong about 0-10 teams and 1-9 teams being in playoffs, and I just hope that maybe if they put this thing together just for this year because of COVID, then maybe some eyes are open and we say, man, this is really the best way to do things. Let's earn our way into the playoffs and let's see how we fall and let's play some different people. You know, and it's, for us, it's, you know, it's every year, it's the Evangels and the St. Thomas Moores and the Park Views and the U Highs and it's really the same thing. And listen, for us, it's even a little bit better than it is in the top select division because they're all guys that they played during the season, basically. You know, I really hope that this kind of moves us forward in our thinking and maybe clears some things up and gets us back together. But I've always been a real, real strong proponent of earning your way into the playoffs. I remember my very first year coaching, we went 5-5 with probably, I would say, maybe a top five team of my coaching career. But we had a difficult schedule. We went 5-5, did not make the playoffs. And we had teams that were not that good who actually made the playoffs now because of this whole select deal. So I really think it's a good thing for us. I hope that's the way it goes. I haven't received any official word if it's going to go that way. But let's earn our way into the playoffs and then go from there. Our schedule is difficult enough as it is that I think we're gonna get points from our schedule. But you're still going to have to win some games to get in the playoffs if everybody's back together.
Hey, thank
no
you
doubt
for
about
that answer. Thank you for that answer. That was a great. I didn't know how to word the question, quite honestly.
I knew you
wanted the competitiveness, and I knew you were not. But that is a great answer.
Yep. We've always felt that way. And I understand the other side. I really do. I really, really do. I was there for 5 years at Assumption. I understand the other side of it. Believe me. But listen, here at EDUI, you know, we do things correctly. We've always been that way. And, you know, you see people not doing things correctly, and you wish that things would get corrected based on the way it's already set up. And maybe it has and maybe it hasn't. But there's nothing like playing a schedule that prepares you for the playoffs. And then when you get to the playoffs, being able to see everybody in 3A, not just the same 16 teams.
Amen, my friend. Look, thanks so much for the time, and we'll chat again soon, okay, my man?
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Yes, sir. Thanks, that was Kyle Lassang with EDUI, doing a great job, as always. Let's catch a quick commercial break. When we get back, we will have just a driver and a 7-iron down the road over from EDUI out to Thibodeau, where we'll have their football coach, Chris Dugas, on the line. It's the Sports Corner, brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute, all right here, as always, on ESPN 100.3.
It's the summer clearance event going on now at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, and Homoth. Get a great deal on a Ram today and check out their new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Houma. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Call today and be cool tonight. Crescent AC and Heat will save you time, money, and sweat this summer. One call does it all. Crescent AC and Heat will clean your AC condenser and do a full check of your AC for only $49. You heard right, $49. Call the best for less this summer. Crescent AC and Heat at 504-777-1234. That's 504-777-1234. And remember, go Tigers.
Hello, this is State Senator Gary Smith from District 19. I want to let you know that I am very concerned about the impact COVID-19 is having on each and every one of us. To stay cautious and practice social distancing, wash hands often, remember to not touch your face, and watch out for your older family members and neighbors. I have been working very hard along with our other elected officials and the governor, and we are taking this very seriously. Please listen for daily news. As everyone does their part, we will prevail. Thank you.
When you're sick, you want to be close to home. World-class medicine doesn't require a trip to the city because the best care is close to home at Thibodeau Regional. We're continually adding new services, and our team of physicians has grown to more than 250.
That's a lot of doctors.
More doctors, more services, treating more conditions.
And keeping more families healthy.
World-class medicine, right here, close to home at Thibodeau Regional.
Dreaming of buying your first home? What's the first step in getting a home loan? What type of assistance is available? At the Louisiana Housing Corporation, we have answers. Our mission is to help you make the most of your investment with down payment assistance, low interest rates, and tax credits. Attend one of our homebuyer education classes to learn about affordable solutions for Louisiana homebuyers. Let us help you make your dream of homeownership a reality. Contact Louisiana Housing Corporation today.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Housing Corporation.
Hey everyone, it's Gus Cattingale. Join me weekdays from 12 to 3 as I host the Sports Hangover. We may not have daily games going on just yet, but we still have plenty to talk about. As the pro leagues and colleges work on plans on getting us back to action, we'll have the latest. Plus, we'll have special guests to speak about how to handle this trying time and also entertain you as well. It's the Sports Hangover, weekdays from 12 to 3 right here on ESPN New Orleans.
And welcome back to the Sports Corner, brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute here on ESPN 100.3. We are making the effort to get Chris Dugas on the phone lines. Reached out to him. He should be calling us within the next couple of minutes. But Stan, let's talk about some of the things that we were hearing from Coach Lassang in the last segment. And I was fascinated by his answer on, well, our guys are going to coach. So, you know, if we've got to get administrators to enforce some of these things, you know, then so be it. It's going to be curious to see, because there are a lot of quote unquote babysitting type things where you got to make sure these guys are doing this. And that was my, you know, thoughts as I was reading the rules. Like, there's not enough coaches on a staff to enforce these things. So EDY at least seems like they've got a system to where they're going to have some other people and, kind of some helpers who are going to be, you know, assisting them throughout this process.
Yeah, but the LHSA also has rules that you can't have only certain people on the sidelines. So those people, and I say this for all parents out there who are like thinking, I'll go volunteer to do something like that. You can't just come out of the stands and do this. Obviously, it's going to be somebody who is a staff member, a faculty member, or somebody who is CECP, maybe certified in a different sport, and they would like to come out and just help. I agree with them. I never thought about that perspective of, you know, you can't have your offensive coordinator worrying about 6 feet of social distancing. He's got to worry about football. So you're going to have those people in place. And I would venture to say, just from, you know, that night, that Friday night, those 3 hours of a ball game, 2.5 hours of a ball game, that COVID coach, so to speak, might have as tough a job as anybody who's in that stadium, because that's not going to be easy to enforce some of these rules. I would imagine that the officials are going to be very cognizant that nobody's going to hit this dead on perfect, but they'll learn throughout the season. I think that we're going to learn a lot of things from game one to game two, and then obviously throughout the season, they'll kind of smooth out the situation.
To the phone lines we go. Thibodeau football coach Chris Dugas on the line. Coach Dugas, good morning, man. How are you?
Good morning. How's it going?
Good, good. We had Kyle Lessing on in the last segment, and one of the things we were talking about with him is just the enthusiasm of, okay, hey, we know a start date, and we know what we got to do in the sidelines. We know what we got to do in the press box. We know what we got to do throughout the week, and I'm sure as a head football coach of a 5A football program, it's like a breath of fresh air to finally have a formal plan and know, hey, this is what we've got to do going forward.
Yeah, it was just it was really good this week to get some direction from the LHSA. I think, you know, pushing back to October 8th is probably a good move. I'm going to tell you from my perspective, I really like it as in terms of heat, you know, because that was my biggest worry with us all for a couple of weeks that we had been off from workouts is getting reacclimated to the heat. And, you know, if the season would be sooner, we'd have to do that a lot quicker. And, I mean, I know COVID is a very scary thing, but I am very scared of heat as far as kids and not being acclimated correctly. You know, that scared me personally a lot more than the virus itself is a kid with a heat-related illness. That's just a scary thing for a football coach.
Yeah, Jerry Blackwell, actually, your athletic trainer, in talking to us, was mentioning that, you know, it's kind of pick your poison. You can worry about COVID so much that you forget about the injury situation and the heat-related illnesses that you were missing. But now that it's all said and done, and it looks like October 8th is going to be that start date, does it ease the pain of the last 3 weeks? Because quite honestly, I know you're sitting there going, well, wait a minute, I'm not doing anything. And you have, you know, Destrehan and Hornville and all of those guys who are actually in school now doing things for the last few weeks. And you have, you know, right there you have Kyle over at E.D. White doing stuff. So does this kind of ease the pain? Because now you realize you did have 3 weeks off, and I know you would like to have gotten that back. But quite honestly, the October 8th start date allows you to get ready for the season, I think, full and properly, right?
Absolutely. You know, that was a big concern, and Jerry and I had talked about that quite a few times about, you know, you have these other teams that are getting ahead, and they're getting in shape, and they're getting in condition, and you're kind of worried about having a matchup with those guys on the field, and they would have been a lot more ahead of you, you know, as far as having their kids in shape, lifting and stuff like that. But now that we're getting back on Monday, I'm not as concerned with that anymore. I'm just concerned with easing it back in kind of slow and, you know, not trying to hit the ground 1,000 miles an hour. And, you know, we got a lot of time, you know, and I realized that. And I, you know, I tried to stress that to my coaches. We got a lot of time, guys. We need to ease it in and do it right, you know, because we certainly don't want to get a kid hurt in, you know, in training camp or, you know, have a kid go down because of. We just want to make sure we do it right. We take the proper steps and precautions and make sure we get the kids in shape correctly.
Coach, let's talk about kind of the urgency that's going to be there, because while, you know, on one hand you're saying, yeah, we're going to ease in and do things correctly, that's the right way to go forward. But on the field, like, you guys are going to be in a situation where you're in a tough district and you guys are now going to be in a condensed playoff bracket. Like, Thibodeau and not just Thibodeau, all the other 5A schools are going to have to win a bunch of ball games to make postseason. How do you get ready and make sure that you're firing on all cylinders in week one?
Well, we just got to, you know, make sure we get, one, good attendance at practice, make sure our kids are there. Two, make sure our kids are focused at practice. You know, it's not going to be, any playing around. We don't have time for playing around. Practices are going to have to be strict and focused. And what we're doing is we're kind of splitting up our varsity, our JV, and our freshmen and going at different times. And actually, with JV and freshmen going on different dates, varsity will go every day. JV and freshmen will go every other day. So we could really focus on those varsity guys. We kind of had to split it up. I have the most kids I've ever had out before. I got almost 140 kids between 9 to 12. So that's just a lot of kids to bring in daily. So right now we're really going to focus on the football aspect of it with our varsity kids. And with our freshman kids, we really only started bringing them in that last week of June, first week of July. So they're going to need the conditioning aspect of it. So varsity kids will kind of focus more. We'll do the conditioning part, but we'll do more of a football focus with them. But with the younger guys, we just need to get them in shape and get them ready and get them acclimated.
You know, Casey and I sort of are on the outside looking in at the LHSAA. Of course, we monitor what comes out, and we're fortunate enough, you know, to hear things from both you guys and from the LHSAA directly. And we've been very complimentary because God knows we've criticized them, you know, from time to time in the past, but we've been very complimentary related to how they've handled COVID. Is that the same when you guys are sitting in the coach's office and you talk about the LHSAA, and I'm maybe putting you on the spot a little bit because I know it is your governing body, but do you kind of feel like the LHSAA, I say A so many times, that they are handling this the right way or, you know, as good as it could be handled?
Well, I think they're getting direction from the right people. I know Dr. Stewart has been involved in setting a lot of the guidelines, and, you know, Jerry's been on numerous Zoom calls, webinars with Dr. Stewart, so we've been kind of getting it firsthand from Jerry what's going to be coming down from the LHSA. So maybe we're finding things out a little bit sooner than others. But, you know, I think they've done a good job so far. The only criticism I would have for the LHSA was less – I think they should have did it maybe a little sooner, is push everything back because we could kind of see, you know, at the end of July, the beginning of August, that – a regular season was going to be kind of unrealistic, and we needed to push back. I just wish it maybe would have been done a little bit sooner, maybe 2 weeks sooner, you know, to give us a little bit more direction on when that was going to happen. But other than that, I think Mr. Bonner has done a great job. I think the executive committee has done a good job of, keeping us abreast of the situation and getting the guidelines out to the coaches.
We asked Kyle saying this question, and I'm going to ask the same question to you. Whose responsibility is it going to be to make sure kids are distanced on the sideline, make sure your kids on the sidelines are wearing their mask and have their mouthpiece in, and make sure that all the water bottles are in the right place? Like, an already hard job has gotten a whole lot harder, so are you going to seek outside help? Are you going to have more managers? Or are you going to just ask your coaches to do a little bit more?
Freshman coaches are on the sideline with us on Friday nights, and those guys usually have, get back duties and stuff like that. So we're just going to probably use those guys, to make sure the protocols are being followed. And, you know, I would love to be able to turn around and make sure every kid's got a mouthpiece in. But, I mean, again, I'll be coordinating the offense and the defense this year and still, you know, having to manage the game as the head coach. So my mind's going to be in 20,000 different directions. So, I think our freshman coaches will do a good job with it. They've usually done a good job with, you know, the management stuff on the sideline before. So those guys will probably be put in charge of that stuff.
So going forward, now have you sat around since you heard October 8th and just took out a pad and a pencil and said, okay, we're going to implement this by this date, this by this date, and kind of redid your implementation of schemes and such?
Yeah, you got to do it a little bit different than what you did before. I'm going to personally go in helmets probably for at least 2 to 3 weeks. just to get the kids acclimated, just to having that time off for us. We've got to make sure we get them in shape. And, you know, I know you can put on pads after 3 days of, you know, successful helmets, but that's not going to be our approach because, I mean, really, you can't have contact with another human being right now. You can have contact with a dummy, you know, once you get in pads. So I think we could get more accomplished just in a helmet and a jersey right now for the next few weeks. Because for us, it's going to be more mental right now. We got some young receivers coming in. We lost pretty much all of our receivers from last year. So we just got to get some chemistry between those guys and Luke. We're fortunate enough to have our Ferrante's back at the running back position, so that'll help offensively. Offensive line, we got three guys coming back, so I feel like the learning curve won't be as bad there. Defensively, we got a lot of guys coming back, so it's just getting those receivers acclimated to Luke and getting some chemistry. And I know those guys have done some things on their own during the summer, just getting together and going throw a ball here and there. So, you know, hopefully those things can happen quicker than what I think. I think the special teams aspect of it is going to be, you know, kind of tough because then you're looking at kids that maybe with the grouping of the offense where you have that group of 25 and, you know, now you got to have some crossover between those guys. So I think that might be a little bit tricky, you know, and we're going to have to figure that out down the road. But right now we're just going to kind of take it slow, make sure we get, you know, get where we need to get mentally, you know, as far as the installation of the offense and defense. And then from there, just kind of move on. You know, I'm not really in a rush to get in pads or anything like that quite yet.
Coach, in terms of, okay, you start school Monday, and it's going to be virtual for 2 weeks. And then the 2 weeks after that, you guys are going to be on campus, but it'll be AB, so you'll have half of the kids one day, half of the kids the next day. Are you kind of concerned about, you know, hey, for a full 4 weeks here, you're not going to be seeing everybody every day like you normally do?
Yeah, it's going to be strange, you know, when we start Monday, you're going to have nobody on campus, so everybody's going to have to find a ride to practice. You know, that's the thing that concerns me. You know, you got parents that are working and stuff like that. There's no bus transportation for these first 2 weeks. So, you know, I know we're going to have some problems. And, you know, hopefully some of those kids can carpool some kind of way or something or find rides to get to school because we had to kind of stagger the times that they're coming in with their groups of 25. So you have a group coming in at 3 less than, and then you don't have another group coming in until 3:30. You know, so it's not going to be, and you might live next to the guy that's coming in at 3:30, and you can't be there until, you know, and he's coming in at 3 and vice versa. You don't want all those kids coming in at the same time, you know, to make sure you don't have a crowd of kids all grouping up at once coming, you know, to the field together. So it's going to be tricky. It's going to be like something we've never done before, but we pull it off during the summer for the workouts. I have no doubt we can pull it off again for practices, you know. It's just, you know, we figured out, I guess, and you talk to plenty of head coaches that in the coaching world, we're constantly making adjustments. So, you know, I can get to be a creature of habit sometimes, but, you know, you got to make the adjustments, and we're just going to have to make adjustments this year to the way we do things.
Boy, I almost hate to bring this up because I hate to bring this into high school football, but I'll just ask it out of curiosity's sake. Have you heard of any kid who is, and I have my fingers up with the quotes, opting out that said, hey, coach, or told another kid to tell coach I'm not coming in this year just because I'm scared of the virus?
No. We've had, I mean, like I said, this summer we had, you know, right around 140 kids throughout the day doing workouts with us. And we've had more than we've ever had. It seems like this year, I think parents are just excited for the kids to be doing something. You know, they've been kind of locked up since March 13th, and everybody's got that cabin fever, you know. And I think more kids, we've had some kids from baseball that were baseball-only kids for the last couple of years that are coming out for football now and are going to really help us. So I'm excited about the group that we got coming out. Like I said, it's the most we've had since I've been the coach at Thibodeau. I mean, the only drawback is we got this going on this year. It would have been awesome if it had just been a regular year and we'd have been starting on time and doing everything like we're supposed to be doing with the numbers that we have. We have close to 60 freshmen, just freshmen, coming out this year. So it's exciting for us, you know, and we're just going to have to make the adjustments to make it work, you know, and we'll pull it off some kind of way or another, and we'll get it done.
Sounds like a winner. Coach, look, thanks so much for the time, and we'll chat again soon, okay?
All right, man, thanks.
Yes, sir. That is Thibodeau football coach Chris Dugod doing a great job as always. And, man, that's we're now 2-for-2, Stan. That last year, I remember last summer doing this with you and every coach we had on, man, we don't have any kids. We're now 2-for-2, two coaches on, two coaches who say they have more than 100. I think that, absence makes the heart grow fond, as the saying says. Whenever you don't have it for 3-4 months, the kids get excited and want to leave the house. And I think that numbers are going to be up by default this year.
You can only play video games for so long until you get tired of it and you want to go outside. Yeah, I agree. I think this is they were taking it for granted, and I don't know of a single school out there whose numbers have not increased because of what's going on right now.
No doubt. Let's catch a quick commercial break. When we get back, we're going to go up the road a little bit from the Thibodeau area towards Napoleonville. We'll have our old friend Keith Menard on the line. He's the new Assumption football coach. We'll talk to him about things going on in Mustang Land. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. All right here on ESPN 100.3.
Fleet Supply Warehouse has been providing the highest quality name brand batteries from AC Delco. Batteries for marine, car, truck, SUV, RV, ATV, motorcycle, golf cart, and dry cell batteries. They have Baldwin filters and more. Fleet Supply has your belt supply needs, including automotive, lawn equipment, agriculture, marine, and industrial. They have one of the largest belt selections and inventory in South Louisiana, located on Venture Boulevard in Houma, or call 985-868-0430 or check them out on Facebook.
Bill George Jewelers in Thibodeau is the go-to destination for jewelry and gifts. They're family-owned and operated since 1905 with third-generation ownership. They pride themselves in personally satisfying every customer that comes in their door, no matter your budget. Check out their selection of engagement rings and baby jewelry. Interest-free financing is available. Custom designs and gift items are available by special order. Need watch or jewelry repair? It's Bill George Jewelers in Thibodeau. Like them on Facebook.
Terrebonne General Medical Center is taking the lead for our community in the fight against COVID-19. We are here on the front lines working for you to ensure the health and safety of our patients and staff. Our team is committed to best practices and the latest advancements in medicine and technology. We have been truly amazed by the unity in our community and are grateful to serve the people of our region. Together, we will get through this. For more information, visit tgmc.com.
Dad, guess what?
What?
You are going to be a grandfather.
That's great. You're going to be a wonderful mom, and I can't wait to be a grandpa. Not too long ago, moments like this with my daughter would have been a challenge. It was a long road for me to find myself again after Vietnam. I struggled to connect with almost everyone and preferred being alone. It was my neighbor Jim, another Vietnam veteran, who finally convinced me that I could still connect with my family and find that fulfilling life I'd lost. In fact, I called Jim first with the news about my granddaughter, Lizzie.
Hey, Jim, I'm going to be a grandfather.
Congratulations, Dave.
Hey, let's get together and celebrate.
Well, as long as you're not grilling.
My pride was my armor, but I didn't know it then. I couldn't put it into words. I was sad, was scared, I felt alone. I didn't know how to reach out, so I hid behind anger and silence. But then I decided to listen to Jim, and I went for help down at the VA. If I can take that first step after almost 50 years, I know other veterans can too. Visit maketheconnection.net to find out more.
The MLB on ESPN Radio. Sunday Night Baseball, the Chicago Cubs.
Swings to the first pitch and drives one out toward right center. This is deep and it is gone. Opposite field, and Chris Bryant gets the Cubs on the board.
The St. Louis Cardinals.
Back at the track, at the wall, looking out of here.
The rivalry.
The boos are fueling Yadier Molina.
Cubs Cardinals, Sunday at 6 Eastern. Presented by Geico on ESPN Radio and ESPN.
And welcome back to the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. We go to our third call-in coaching guest, which is Assumption football coach Keith Menard on the line. Coach Menard, good morning, man. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning. Everything's great.
Absolutely, my friend. We are at a point now where after months and months of fog, we have a little bit of clarity. We have a clear start date. We have a clear list of guidance and you know, the things that you guys need to be doing to follow the protocols in place. As a coach, I'm sure that that's an awfully good feeling to know, hey, this is the plan going forward.
Well, yeah, you know, I think us starting August 3rd was nice, and then now they tell us October 8th. You know, I mean, I'm not going to go full steam ahead August 7th when we got 9 weeks before we play. So it changed our focus a little bit, especially in, you know, what we're trying to accomplish in August when we're not going to play in October, you know. So it was good to be able to see that and, you know, just really just excited about a chance to, you know, to play football.
Coach Lesang mentioned that his third playing date was you, and if the first two games were gone off of the slate, that would be the opener. I know you had Donaldsonville to start it all off. I can't remember exactly who your second playing
Patterson.
Date was. Patterson. So
Patterson. Patterson
games.
Week two.
He mentioned
Patterson
this,
week two.
Yeah, I never realized that, you know, if those were two home games for you, that's a little bit of finances that sort of goes down the drain a little bit. So in your case, were those going to be home games, or do you, or were you even thinking
of
that?
Donaldsonville was, and that's a big money gate, and Patterson's away. So, you know, we're going to lose one money game. You know, now we back up to where we start playing week six, and I'm in big trouble because that means I would only – we're only playing five games. I'd only have two at home and three on the road. So that would be a little different. And, you know, hopefully we can get them all in, you know. You know, the eight games that, you know, that we're hoping we can get in.
And real quickly.
Go ahead, okay. Sam.
I was just wondering, you know, we know about Lafourche and Terrebonne a little bit more about going back to school. Assumption is at what point, just the regular kids going back into school. Have y'all been in as a staff yet?
Yeah, teachers started Wednesday. Kids go this Thursday in that hybrid, kind of like half the student body one day, half the student body the other. Kids can't opt to be in virtual. I mean, they got a pretty good plan in place, and, you know, we'll see how it moves forward, you know.
Coach, like, do you have a preference? I know you're talking about the financial ramifications, but are you most in favor of the eight-game schedule as opposed to the seven or to the six? Or, you know, talk us through what you would like to see happen ideally going forward.
I mean, I think everybody wants to play eight. You know, I mean, who wouldn't? You know what I'm saying? And that would be something that I think everybody would want. I mean, you know, we've worked too hard to play less games, you know, and I'm hoping eight, you know. So we'll see, you know, our three non-district to start would be E.D. White, Denham Springs, and St. James, you know, and those three are some pretty good football games to get started for the year, you know, and then if they're saying no scrimmages, no jamborees with a new offense, that's going to be interesting.
talk a little bit about your, I guess, implementation plan now. I know you guys have been kind of getting after it, but do you reassess and do you implement things, different schemes, different special teams, totally different? Have you pulled out a calendar and kind of looked at it yet to talk about, hey, we need to do this thing now, guys, because this, you know, because of just this crazy world we live in?
Yeah, well, you know, I think the big thing is, something. So last Friday, I started having some back issues. Well, I had surgery yesterday on my lower back. I'm out for 2 weeks.
Wow.
I mean, at home for 2 weeks, you know, and kind of a, when you talk about a crazy summer, it's continued to get crazier for me, you know. And no, we had a plan going in. And then after we got the guidance at October 8th, I mean, we sat down for 3 days after practice and really planned out the next 2 to 3 weeks. And it's going to be a scaled-back version of what we had initially thought due to the fact that we have 9 weeks. We're not putting pads on, you know, shoulder pads. You know, we feel like once you put shoulder pads on, that's a contact thing for guys, right? So we're going to keep that off of them. You know, once I get back from this 2 weeks of being laid up and being miserable, I'm going to we'll start implementing kicking game stuff. And that still puts us 7 weeks away from start, you know. But we have an install plan with our offense, and, you know, I'm right now I'm liking what I see.
That was the next question I was going to ask, and you kind of touched on it, is how have things been? You know, you're at a new place for the first time in a while, learning the kids and everything like that, and it's been sort of stop and go with the COVID situation, but how's everything been so far?
Well, you know, they still haven't had pads, and I hadn't seen anybody hit, but with being in shoulder, but just helmets and watching those guys run around and really the guys picking things up, man, I'm excited about our football team. Defensively, I mean, we look really fast, and you know, we run to the ball well. Offensively, you know, we're slowly picking up the offense. The good thing about it, last year they ran the spread, so some of the concepts maybe we'll call differently, but at least they've had those concepts in, you know. And so I think it's going to be you know, just fine tuning everything, and you know, just moving forward.
Critique if you can, and I know again this puts you on the spot a little bit. I asked this to Coach Dugas. Critique a little bit the LHSAA and their handling of everything. Well, Casey and I both feel like, you know, it's been pretty good for the most part. They've done some really good things. Is there anything that you may not like that they did, that they could have done maybe at a different time, whatever the case may
well,
be?
Well, you know, I think, telling us we could start August 3rd and then coming back 2 days later and saying we're not starting until October 8th, I thought that was a little strange, but I think they were giving people some hope, and they did, right? So it's great. You know, I'm not, that's not something to be really upset about, right? But, you know, we did get this protocol to play the other day, football. I mean, did y'all get that document?
Sure did.
Okay. Now, I just started looking at it, but that's got me really confused.
Keith, you better get you some more coaches, man, because you're gonna have to have COVID coaches on your sideline.
No, okay, but this is what I'm trying to get at. Like, it makes no sense. A kid runs off, need water, is hot, he's coming off to get a break. Who's got his mask? I mean, so you're telling me I've got a I don't understand that. I don't understand the whole thing about the kids playing football wearing a mask on the sideline. Makes no sense to me. But if that's the guidelines we got to go by, now that means we got to figure it out. But, I mean, they practiced with each other all week. They've done all this with each other all week. And now you're telling me we got to social distance on the sideline and put mask on? That, you know, and I'm just a football coach, so I need to follow the science, I guess, but that makes no sense to me that we can bang all day, all week against each other, and now we got to put a mask on the sidelines.
I think that's the LHSAA's way of saying during the week, you're the school's problem or the school system's problem. On Friday night, you become kind of our problem, and we want you to do these things. But you're right, if all of the kids are lined up on the sideline with a mask on, and they have to get in the game really quick, it's going to be interesting. There's going to be a lot of masks flying around on the sideline.
Okay, so then now that mask becomes useless. This social distance, I don't know. I didn't read the whole thing. I am really trying to figure out how I'm going to deal with masks. I really am. Now, I understand you bringing officials into the game. I do understand that. But if they, I mean, I'm just trying to put it all together. I am not opposing masks. That's not what I'm saying. I'm looking at the actual implementation of that policy for us. And I don't know what it's going to look like.
I hear you, brother. Well, look, we thank you so much for the time, and we're going to chat again soon,
man.
Okay?
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. And, guys, man, y'all stay at it. Hopefully October 8th, we getting after it, you know?
No doubt about that, brother. Have a good weekend. Feel better, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yes, sir. That is Coach Keith Menard, and I feel the exact same way that he feels in terms of, okay, it's cool to wear the mask on the sideline, but whenever little Sparky, who plays defensive back, is now on the field, where does that mask go? And if someone else is touching and feeling all over his mask, then will it be as effective if it's in someone else's hands or if it's on the ground or if whatever it may be? Again, they're going to do what they've got to do, and it's good to have guidance, and it's good to have a plan. I just don't understand what you know, the reasoning behind that, so to speak, and I don't understand how it's going to be executed, more importantly.
Well, interestingly enough, a lot of people out there can listen to you and I's opinion related to a lot of this. But when I ask questions, I'm trying to get the coaches' opinion. Yet I'm kind of hoping the coaches say what I hope they might say. And boy, do I feel blessed, because we've had a couple of coaches today that said exactly sort of what I thought. When you read all of this, how do you do this? And then what you're saying is that Friday night is nothing like your practice week, you know?
Yeah.
And your practice week, you could do this and you could do this, or at least you're not being mandated to do certain things. And then on Friday night, it's going to be different. So it's kind of a learning curve in your practices, and then it's a learning curve on Friday nights. I'm telling you, the officials better be very, first of all, they better be very patient on that first Friday night, because if they go in there and try and just hammer home all of these rules, they're going to have a little, they're going to have a riot on their hands, because it's just too much to do. So, yeah, listen, everybody's trying to do the right thing, but boy, it's moderation might be the key word here.
Fun times indeed. We'll see how the next couple of months go. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. When we get back, oh man, we love our Nichols Colonels over here, but we've got, it's a rough situation for them. We'll talk about some of the struggles that they're facing on the football side after this break on ESPN 100.3.
Did you decide against traveling this summer?
Buy a big anniversary diamond instead.
Tell them what an anniversary diamond is, Lori.
An anniversary diamond is at least twice as big as the one in her engagement ring.
Why twice as big?
Every diamond makes a statement.
Okay.
The anniversary diamond says, I love you twice as much today as the day I married you.
You're going to be so happy when you see the price we can give you.
On a 2-carat, 3-carat, or 4-carat diamond.
2020 has been a year of renewed commitments.
And a big anniversary diamond is the perfect symbol of that.
Another perfect symbol of deep commitment is an engagement ring.
Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers has the best prices on diamonds.
And the biggest selection of engagement rings.
And our custom design department can modify any ring in any way you choose.
You found a partner you want to share your life with.
When you're ready to celebrate,
we've got a diamond for that.
Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers, the largest diamond store in Louisiana. On Veterans between Bonneville and West End in Metairie.
Easy, convenient, affordable. Lady of the Sea Family Medical Clinic in Cutoff, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano, sees patients from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends. Same day appointments are available on weekdays, with no appointment necessary, beginning at 5 p.m. and anytime on weekends. The added convenience of a pharmacy at the same location makes it the best choice for patients in South Lafourche. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
A stroke can be easy to detect. A loved one can't speak. Perhaps they can't move. But there's another sign of a stroke that many of us can't see. It's called spatial neglect, and it can occur during or after a stroke, causing distorted visual movements. Fortunately, there's a solution by using optical prism technology during rehabilitation. If you or a loved one have experienced a stroke, ask your doctor about spatial neglect. Spatial neglect. See the whole picture at KesslerFoundation.org.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
We want to thank all of our coaches for being call-in guests today. As always, we thank them so much for spending their Saturday mornings with us. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3. And Stan, it's been a bummer. As much of as the good news on the high school level that we've had in the past week, it's been a bummer following the things that are happening in the world of college football. And what I mean by that is now more than 70 FCS schools rather have opted out of football in the upcoming season, which has led to the cancellation of the FCS playoffs for the Vol. Nichols is one of just five or six conferences that are left that haven't yet pulled the plug, and I don't know what their plans are ultimately going to be, but it just is hard to envision a scenario where this works, where you've got 70 out of 120 or so schools that have now canceled. You don't have a postseason. And oh yeah, these other schools that have canceled are planning to have their playoffs and their regular seasons in the spring. Man, it's hard to envision a world where the Southland doesn't eventually bite the bullet as much as they want to play, where they don't, eventually say, hey, we're going to just join the crowd and go into the spring.
Well, you just added a tidbit of information that I did not realize with saying that they were going to proceed with the championship in the spring. I did know that they were not going to have it in the fall, but that is interesting to know that it's going to be in the spring. And you're right, that puts a little pressure on Nichols, especially football-related, where they feel like they're one of those teams, you know, won a game in the playoffs last year, went up to North Dakota State, who is one of the powerhouses, and played them really well up there, at least for part of that game. And, God, I don't, you can tell when you speak to Coach Tim Rebo. Last night I was fortunate enough to have Coach Seth Thibodeau, the baseball coach of Nichols State, on. And our talks with James Schilling, the golf coach there. Those guys are drained. They are truly drained. They are just, you know, we talk about the high school coaches, but, and Coach Thibodeau told me one thing last night that I found a little interesting also. He mentioned that the NCAA dropped the bombshell a couple of days ago that you had to have a COVID test and it had to be positive to go back to competing at your school, whether it be practicing or whatever. And I thought, okay, you know, I'm not sure I get it, because remember, that test is just a point in time, right? It's just a snapshot for that particular time. That doesn't mean that 3 weeks later you'll be positive. But that being said, somebody's got to pay for that. And it sure isn't the NCAA who's paying for that. So it's incumbent on your school. So then it goes back to, my goodness, where do you find the finances to handle the COVID situation? Then it goes even further to me thinking of our friend Jonathan Terrell, who's the new athletic director there, who's got to be going, you're kidding me. Boy, you talk about jumping into the frying pan. That's jumping into the frying pan. Because it was just the other day that Nichols was actually looking to pick up a couple of games for games they lost in football. And now I'm not sure you do that, because you're sitting there going, well, wait a minute. If we even want to compete for a championship in our division of NCAA football, we can't play in the fall. We have to play in the spring. So, I don't get it. Hey, listen, earlier this week when UConn decided not to play football, I do realize that that's not an FCS school. A lot of people out there thought, oh, my goodness, and I thought that's just a school that's trying to save money right now. I mean, I realize it might be a little COVID, but it's a lot of a financial situation too. Boy, Nichols was trying to do everything they could. Not only Nichols, but the Southland Conference was trying to do everything they could to move forward in the fall. And I agree with you. I don't know how you do it.
So when do the dominoes stop dropping? Because today, this morning, the MAC, which is, again, an FBS conference, they've said they're not playing football in the fall. So, like, here's my biggest concern is I think that there is a strong sentiment for the SEC and the Big 12 and the Pac-12, and I think that those schools want to play pretty desperately because they want to, you know, maintain their television contracts and everything of that sort. But how many of these smaller conferences have to drop out before the big conferences are on an island, meaning where they'd almost be in a no-win situation? What I mean by that is if you play and everything goes off as scheduled, it's kind of not a big deal. But if you play and then it's a nightmare, then you're looking at university presidents potentially being fired, and you're looking at ADs potentially being fired, because then all these other school presidents will be able to say, hey, we canceled our seasons. You guys didn't. You guys didn't prioritize your student athletes, whatever it may be. So at what points do the dominoes stop falling? That's what's kind of worrying me, is that every day somebody else is backing out. Like, at what point do those dominoes stop dropping?
And it's also internal strife, so to speak, because I do believe that what happened on the West Coast, where Pac-12 players were getting together and saying, you know, coming up with these demands, which I don't think that they wanted all of their demands to be met. I think they threw a lot of things on the table that they knew wouldn't stick. But as related to COVID, they had all of these demands. I think that made a lot of these other conferences look and say, uh-oh, look what's happening out there. And now you have a lot of young kids who are really, I mean, they would do anything to play football, preferably in the fall. And just because a few are saying, you know, we want these things handled before we play, it might cost them their opportunity to play. So, again, interesting going forward. It's also very ironic. I mentioned this to Coach Dugas about opting out. Were there any high school kids who were opting out? Isn't it funny how there's not one high school kid out there that we've heard of that is opting out of playing ball because of this? Yet as you go up the line and money becomes a factor, there are more and more players that are opting out.
No doubt about that. So here's an off-the-wall idea. And, you know, we hear of the XFL and we hear of the Alliance of American Football and all the other leagues that have come and have gone. And I know the XFL is trying to, you know, reincarnate for the third time. But, okay, here's what I was thinking last night as I was giving the rundown for the show. What happens if the FCS plays in the spring and, you know, ESPN or, you know, the family of networks say, hey, we don't have anything on TV. Let's put some of these games in. What happens if the American people like having football, college football in the spring? Do you think that there's a situation where we may do this, like it, and then never go back?
I would say no at this point, but I also am smart enough to understand in the last 3 months that anything goes. We were in a anything. Nothing would surprise me. Even, you know, UConn dropping their football program earlier this week. If we would have heard that 4 months ago, our jaw would have dropped. We were just kind of numb to that. So maybe, I will say this, the NCAA making the FCS playoffs happen in the spring certainly is forcing the hand of probably the Southland Conference to play then. And then when they go there, will they get more individual attention because they are playing in the spring? Maybe so. Maybe, you know, if you're looking for that silver lining, that's what it is. Maybe there is a little bit to be gained and a little bit more exposure.
We'll see how it goes. The dominoes keep falling. We'll see where they stop dropping. Let's catch a quick break when we get back. We'll talk about the PGA Championship, which is being played out in California. Third round is just underway. We'll talk about that and more. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute, all right here on ESPN 100.3.
Avenue Wine & Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine & Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine & Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine & Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
Some people just have a knack for being there when you need them the most. Like your third-grade classmate who sticks up for you against that bully. The neighbor who gives you a jump start. And the friend who chases away that flock of geese at your outdoor wedding. Your State Farm agent has your back, too. Through good times and the not-so-good. And who's got your agent's back? State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. We're here to help life go right.
Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today at 985-632-0988.
Terrebonne General Medical Center is taking the lead for our community in the fight against COVID-19. We are here on the front lines working for you to ensure the health and safety of our patients and staff. Our team is committed to best practices and the latest advancements in medicine and technology. We have been truly amazed by the unity in our community and are grateful to serve the people of our region. Together, we will get through this. For more information, visit tgmc.com.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. I'm a better neighbor because my service has taught me how important it is to be a team player. My training helps me in my classes when I give attention to detail to the task at hand. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
I would be lying if I said that I was a very useful human being the last 2 days, because I have not. I have watched endless amounts of PGA Tour golf. Embarrassing amounts of PGA Tour golf, actually. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. I've been glued to it, man. First major championship in 300 plus days. I've been glued to it, and now I'm curious to see how the weekend goes. Stan, have you been watching it as much as I have? Have you been paying attention closely to what's been going on out in California?
I watched round one, most of round one, did not see anything from yesterday. And as I looked at the leaderboard last night, not that I probably didn't miss a whole lot, but I certainly don't know those two guys who are at the top of the leaderboard. well, obviously the Lee kid from China, I don't know, but the Lorenzo Vera and all of the other guys tied at you know, and there's a lot of guys who I think from that second grouping who are going to be favorites to win it all when it's all said and done. Just a lot of names I don't know. I was thinking this though, Casey. I mean, you know, hosting this show every Saturday morning, if we want to be viable as far as reporting on golf, I think it's incumbent on Truck to send us to San Francisco maybe in the future sometime, because that Hardy Park golf course is very affordable. I did not realize it was a municipal golf course where you could just walk up and go play, and there's no waiting time. Now, it's, you know, I'll even pay the green fee if Truck sends us out there to take care of everything. And that way, when we're talking about golf, we'll have a sense of what these courses are really like. A beautiful course at the municipality course. And I listen, the rest of the way this weekend, that's my plan to, you called it, you've been useless the last 2 days. Well, I'm going to be useless these next 2 days.
So here, like, I got a feeling that there may be some drama for a couple of reasons. For the first, you touched on it a minute ago. I don't trust the two guys at the top of the leaderboard. I don't know how long they're going to stay there. I don't know how their nerves are going to hold up. Second, this course has been playing drastically different in the morning than in the afternoon. So on today, moving day, I could easily see a John Rahm, who's one under par, or Rory McIlroy, who's a one under par, Bryson DeChambeau, who's two under par, someone like that shooting in the mid-60s, 65, 66, something like that, catapulting near the top. And then that lead group just kind of holding firm. I could easily see a lot of movement and a lot of variance. And then the third thing is it's just so bunched. Like there's so many guys near the lead. There ain't no telling who, I mean, there are, I'm counting them now. There's 30 some odd players who are within just, you know, a handful of shots of the lead. So it's going to be kind of a battle royale, no holds barred. And I think that it's going to be interesting to see, because Brooks Koepka, he's the guy everybody wants to talk about. I know that you're a fan of his. He's injured, man. Like, he hits a tee shot and then he has to go get stretched out. Like, I don't know how much longer he's going to hold off. I think that two guys to pay attention to that are not getting looked at, because I think that, you know, they're not quite the, you know, the sexy choice because of the American market. Justin Rose is a quiet, steady player. He's always in contention. I think he's going to be there at the end. And I really like Tommy Fleetwood, because I feel like when the conditions are rough and the golf course is playing difficult, that favors his style of game because he controls his iron so well. I think Tommy Fleetwood's going to be a guy to watch and pay attention to. I think he's going to be in it until the very end, and he may bring it home whenever it's all said and done.
Okay, so we'll differ just a little bit on that. Fleetwood is a guy I don't know why, but probably about 2 years ago, I just kind of started pulling for. He looked young, and he looked like he was actually nice to fans in the gallery a couple of years ago, and I was like, that's kind of neat. So I started to pull for the guy, but I found that on Sunday, and I hate to say, you know, that mentally he's not ready for it, but he seemed to fade on the Sundays, no matter what the situation was. So I'm kind of – I'm not real hot on Fleetwood, to be honest with you. One guy that I said this before, and you just mentioned that some of these guys who are going to get an early tee time today might make a little noise today. I said this to our good friend, again, James Schilling, over at Nickel State, the head golf coach. I said, I think John Rahm is going to win it. And John Rahm has not played particularly good golf in the first two rounds, yet he's still one under, and he gets a little bit earlier start time today. So I'll still maybe think that he can make a little bit of a move in this. I'm not sure. And the other guy is Schauffele, Xander Schauffele. From the standpoint of, he's a guy who, you know, he plays on the West Coast a lot. And maybe, you know, just maybe, and he's sitting at four under. And, you know, as we say in all of this, I actually have a text coming in, and I know it's from James, so he says, so, if I didn't like the way that Fleetwood falls apart, definitely do not throw my money on Tony Finau, because he said Finau definitely falls apart on Tony.
Yeah.
So, and
we've,
I like Tony
we've talked
Finau
about that
too.
As well.
Yeah, I like Tony Finau, too. I wish he would. I wish he would do well, but I'm not quite sure. And listen, after the first day, obviously thinking, you know, how much of a Woods fan, Tiger Woods fan you are, I was kind of excited. I had heard, you know, and I was watching a little bit when I started watching, but realized that he had just finished in the morning when I started watching. And I'm going, well, wait a minute, that's a huge difference maker. And to his credit, when he did his press conference after his round, he said, look, I was fortunate enough to play in the morning today. Tomorrow I got to go play in the afternoon. So he pulled no punches. He said it would be a little bit different. Of course, his putter let him down, I think, a little bit yesterday, too. But that being said, yeah, it depends on when you play a course, no doubt about it.
So I've never asked you about this, and all my golf buddies and I have this debate. What are your thoughts on Bryson DeChambeau? Because here's a guy that, during the quarantine, beefed up. He now looks like Hulk Hogan on the golf course. He's kind of sort of a baby. You know, he's breaking his driver and arguing with cameramen. He's not very well liked, but he's incredibly good. And he's got this crazy scientific approach to the game where he's measuring angles and different things like that. And what are your thoughts on DeChambeau? To me, I think that, you know, while I don't root for him, I think it's good for the sport to have kind of that quote-unquote villain character that everybody could root against. What are your thoughts about DeChambeau?
Well, if Jim Furyk can have that swing and be successful, why can't DeChambeau do all of his mathematics and his equations to come up with what he does? I got to tell you, there was a time when, and I'm not a good golfer by any stretch of the imagination, but in my effort to play golf, I you know, the club shaft on a driver is so long that there's obviously more room for error between your hands and the ball and that hand-eye coordination and everything else. So my son had a little bitty, my son was young at the time, he had a younger set and the driver was smaller. And it wasn't a very good driver, but I pulled it out and I started hitting the ball straight. I started thinking, well, wait a minute. This shaft on his little driver was about the same size as the shaft on my 9-iron. So I started thinking, there's something to this. So I sort of understand where DeChambeau comes from. It's hard to rationalize that there are, you know, 200 other golfers who are playing next to him who don't do the same thing he does, and yet his is supposed to be the way that works. Now, him gaining 40 pounds just recently and hammering the ball like he does, a lot of people certainly want to say that he's up to something as far as, you know, some kind of enhancement type situation. It sounds like he's been doing this for a really long time, and it just so happens that the peak of this performance level, the peak of this gaining weight happened during the COVID period. So I'll give him a break on that. I don't dislike the guy. As a matter of fact, you know that I've always kind of been a Koepka guy, a Brooks Koepka guy, and I find that Brooks Koepka kind of being more of the crybaby right now related to their little tiff on, you know, Twitter and stuff because, you know, if you have a problem with him and you think he's a threat to you, that's when you start chirping back. But if you just play it cool and he's not a threat to you, you don't even worry about him. So why should they worry about him? Now, listen. He's in great shape, too, because I think you had mentioned he's 2-under.
DeChambeau, yeah, 2-under par.
2-under par, getting a – and I know that's probably a midday to maybe 2 o'clock start time in San Francisco. Maybe he does something this weekend. I got to say, if he comes up and he finishes in the top 5 and maybe even wins this thing, we're all kind of looking at it like, you know. And again, I give your guy Tiger Woods a lot of credit. When they speak to Tiger Woods about it, Tiger Woods is just cool because he just said, you know, that's the way that guy plays. Leave him alone. It's, you know, there's no, again, there are some guys' swings that are not real pretty, you know, and they still get the job done. So if his deal is all my clubs are going to be the same length and he You know what he reminds me of? There used to be a commercial for, it was either for Titleist or whoever, and it was these machines hitting a ball, you know, just to show, you know, the distance of the balls and having that same accuracy with the balls and such. And he looks like one of those machines. He's just like real stiff. And but then again, I'd imagine if anybody ever put a video camera on me, I wouldn't look like a machine, but I would have some of that stiffness, and it almost looks uncoordinated a little bit. But again, if he's getting the job done, I got no problems. And I agree with you too. If you don't like the guy, it still adds a little bit of, you know, villainous to the game. So, yeah.
So very quickly, we're up against a break, but on a scale of 1 to 10, how surprised, and 1 being not surprised, 10 being incredibly surprised, how surprised would you be if either Lee or Lorenzo Vera were the ones that ended up winning this thing?
Nine. Very, very surprised. I think that those guys, and just reading a little bit of their bios last night, it's not like they're tearing it up on the tours that they're on. So that being the case. Now, listen, if they were, and if Fridays were not a problem for those guys, Sundays were not a problem for those guys, I might think different. But I think there's too many guys who have been there before that are, like, hot on their heels right now, that one of those guys is going to come through and win it.
We agree 100%. Let's catch a quick commercial break. When we get back, we'll talk about the New Orleans Pelicans. They were successful yesterday defeating the Washington Wizards. That's the good news. The bad news is that, man, if this were a game of Texas Hold'em poker, they're slowly drawing dead because the Grizzlies won and some of the other teams that are in pursuit are winning games as well. So we'll talk about their playoff chances. In the next segment, it's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Tired of slow internet speeds or trying to watch everything on your phone? Vision Communications has a special 50-50 offer just for you. 50 megs at your home for only $50 a month. You will be connected for everything, streaming TV shows, surfing, and playing games. And Vision's 50 megs will keep everyone in the house happy at a great price. This offer is for your first 6 months of service and is for new internet customers only. As always, you will get the personal service you deserve from Vision. For offer details, visit us at viscom.net.
Is pain putting a strain on your quality of life? Don't suffer in silence. Get relief at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Dr. Luis Hernandez and Dr. Keith Duplantis can provide solutions to neck, knee, and back pain, as well as pain associated with injury, arthritis, nerve damage, and migraines. Get help for your pain at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Call today, 985-493-4080, or go to Thibodaux.com.
What is hope? Hope to me was just that he would get to come home. I had no idea how hard it would be once he got back.
I wish she'd stop drinking so much. She thinks it's helping, but it's not. I hope she sees that soon.
I act like I don't care if he comes to my games. But I hope he does.
I used to hope he'd find happiness again. Now I hope our marriage makes it.
I hope Grandpa will get help. He thinks it's too late, but it's not.
With everything that he's going through, I hope he sees a counselor. I just want my brother back.
I hoped he'd get help. Stop hoping things would get better on their own. He told me to stop asking. I didn't. Then one day he asked for a ride.
Hope is knowing there are other families just like yours, that the veterans they love got help and recovered. Go to maketheconnection.net and turn hope into action.
And welcome back to the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute right here on ESPN 100.3. And we promised you some Pelicans talk. Of course, we are the official home for the New Orleans Pelicans. You could catch all their games right here on ESPN 100.3. interesting times for New Orleans because, you know, there's just so much drama involving, you know, when Zion will play, when Zion won't play. And it felt like coming into the Orlando bubble, there was just this assumption that, you know, they were going to catch everybody and they were going to, you know, had an easy schedule. They were going to be the 9 seed and then they were going to play Memphis in a play-in game. And turns out some of these other teams in the bubble have intentions on making the playoffs as well because Portland has gotten healthy and has gotten red hot. Memphis won a couple of games and now the Pelicans are in an awfully awkward situation. They're 2.5 games out of Memphis with 3 games to play. The problem is Memphis is playing 3 teams. They've got 3 games left. All 3 of those teams have their seed clinched. So the odds are they'll be facing backups in at least one of those games and they'll be able to get a win. Portland is 1.5 games ahead of the Pelicans. Portland is red hot. And Portland's schedule is as follows. They're going to be playing the Clippers today without Kawhi Leonard, who is load managing because the Clippers have their seed locked. They're going to be facing Philadelphia, who's without Ben Simmons. They're going to be facing Dallas, who's the 7 seed. That seed is locked. They're going to be facing Brooklyn in the finale. So, like, it just feels like the math isn't adding up. And, oh, yeah, all of this, you know, the Pelicans need all these teams to lose, and they also have to win the rest of their games, which is no easy feat. It just feels like if we're playing Texas Hold'em and you see the little percentages on the TV screen, it feels like those other teams' percentages are far higher than New Orleans is right now. They need a lot of things to happen here in the next couple of weeks or in the next week or so, and maybe too much to overcome at this point.
Boy, it is at least as frustrating a thing in sports in New Orleans as I can, I don't know, it's just, You know, you go out there and that first game gave you a little hope, although we hated the way they lost it to the Jazz. And then you got the Spurs who blasted Jazz last night. And we all thought that Phoenix getting in was almost like, well, you know, Phoenix is in, but that's the team that's not going to make the playoffs. And I don't know, they came in the bubble playing the right way and they're doing things that are really, really, you know, positive. Then you have the Pelicans doing what they're doing. I can't even get excited about the win against the Wizards last night because if you can't beat the Wizards, you know, I mean, the Wizards shouldn't even been in the bubble. I think they're the first team that's totally eliminated from everything. So I don't know. But you know what? I guess I should sit here and say we were not expecting this team to be a playoff contender necessarily this year anyway. It's just that going into this bubble, we kind of felt like they had that opportunity. I mentioned last week, as long as we thought that, that was great. But you have to realize that the people in Portland and the people in San Antonio and the people in Memphis are all thinking, hey, we got a pretty good schedule going in. Look at this. And if we have the Pelicans on our schedule, we could beat them. So they're all thinking the same thing. And unfortunately, their version of things is turning out pretty good. It's mind-boggling that these Pelicans gave up 145 points to the Kings, you know?
To the Kings, yeah.
And how does that work? How does that work? And, you know, I can't get excited. I know they won last night. Now, I will say this. I was ready to get on my high horse if they had a loss last night. We'd be talking about this right now. But I just can't get real excited about it.
It's hard for me to, you know, when you're in a situation where you're in this bubble and you've not played in however long that you've not played, and you've got this young, energetic team that should be excited, it's hard to watch a team blatantly play with a lack of effort. And when they lost to the Kings 140-125, that team was playing with a lack of effort. They gave up 49 points in the first quarter. That is almost impossible to do. They allowed the Kings to shoot 53% from the field. The Pelicans, here's a stat, the Pelicans in that game shot 58% from the field and lost by 15 points because they didn't defend. Like, I don't know if this is a player issue, because look, some of these guys that they traded for from LA, their work ethics were not known to be incredible, which is part of the reason why the Lakers thought they were expendable. I don't know if this is a, you know, they need a new message from the top, head coaching issue. I don't know if that's the issue. But it's hard to fathom, and especially watching some of these other games around the league where the effort and intensity has been wonderful. The level of play in the bubble has actually been excellent. It's hard to see all of that going on and then see this team show up and just lay a gold brick egg in the middle of the court and just not compete. It's hard to watch a team with their, you know, do or die aspirations just go out and blatantly not compete.
Well, I will borrow evaluations from two people, one of them being you. You mentioned to me earlier in the week, this team just doesn't know how to compete, or at least doesn't know how to compete on a consistent basis. So I would agree with that. And I also agree with my friend Richard Watkins, who said, you know what? They are 2 years away and could be really good, but it has to be 2 years less Gentry. And I think both of you share that Gentry is a good guy, and maybe if you had him as assistant coach and he dealt with your offense, you're okay. But as far as being a defensive-minded guy or even having anybody on the staff who is defensive-minded, they don't have it. And for whatever reason, I hate to even think about these upcoming games, because although these are the games we think they should win, who knows what's going to happen in these games? Who, you know, you just, and quite honestly, you mentioned it, they'd have to win every game going forward, but that's assuming that some of the teams in front of them kind of collapse, and that doesn't look like that's going to happen. So it's hard to get really fired up about it. And, again, I was mentioning that Richard had mentioned that you would have to be Gentry-less. I don't think Alvin Gentry's going anywhere next year. I think, you know, maybe if it was a full season this year and things didn't work out for Pelicans, they may be looking. But I think that this situation with the bubble and COVID has probably offered him another year. So I don't know what happens. It's frustrating. It's the most frustrating, because I, as a whole, am not a big NBA fan. I'm a Pelicans fan, and they are just not getting it done.
So here's how I feel with the coaching thing. Is 2 years ago, you're kind of at a point where you know that at some point you're going to lose Anthony Davis. You just don't know when. You know, last year you had a situation where you're rebuilding and you know, you don't know how the new pieces are going to fit, whatever it may be. And the point I'm getting at is whenever you have such uncertain times, it's hard to go out on the free market and attract a high level coach. But I think right now you have Zion Williamson, you have Brandon Ingram, you've got some flexibility, and you've got a ton of draft picks from the Lakers and your own draft picks. I think now, if I'm a Jeff Van Gundy, if I'm a Tyronn Lue, if I'm a coach that's looking to get back in, whereas 2 years ago, I may be saying, man, I don't want to go to the Pelicans. I don't know what the future looks like there. I'm saying, hey, this team has some assets. This team has some players. I think that they're a more attractive destination now, and it's easier for me to pull the plug on that decision knowing that I could attract a big fish. But, you know, here's the thing. You never want to let a 5-pound fish go if the next fish you catch is only 3 pounds. I think right now they could let the 5-pound fish go because the next fish is going to be 7 or 8 pounds, if not even heavier.
Well, if a year ago, 2 years ago, that's what front management of the Pelicans was thinking, I applaud that. I totally get it. It's a valid point. I don't want people to think that I'm just like, you know, you got to get rid of coaches just because things are not going right. That's not the deal. As a matter of fact, when they got rid of Monty Williams, I was not a big advocate of that. And usually I realize that we as general laymen don't understand what's going on in an organization, and maybe they do, and that's why they hold on. For example, a lot of people wanted to get rid of Sean Payton a few years ago for the Saints. And I mean, how ridiculous now looking back at that was that to think that. So I'm not that kind of guy. I just think that you almost hit it on the head when you said at the end of each season, there was always something that was happening with the Pelicans that, well, you had to afford him another year. You're looking at it like, well, yeah, they had to afford him another year because they were not marketable. There was nobody you could go out and get. I looked at it like, yeah, they're affording him another year because he's got another excuse that was built in, you know. And I fear that COVID is going to be that excuse maybe to start the next year. But you have a great point in saying that, you know, now people realize the pieces are in place, or for the most part. Of course, you did scare me with what you said about those guys all who all came over from the Lakers. Maybe they just don't play defense, never did, and never will. So, I don't know. There's obviously something missing. And I still, as much as I think Zion Williamson is going to be a huge star in the NBA, why can't he play every night? I still don't get that.
Yeah. That's kind of spooky, man. I don't know that there's anything going on per se, but it certainly makes you wonder. That's certainly an issue that's going to – there are going to be a lot of questions asked about that in the offseason. We've got one more commercial break. When we get back, we're going to be talking about the SEC's football schedules, which were finally released. Ellis, you've got a pretty good list of games here upcoming, and so does Alabama, quite frankly. But we'll be talking about all that, and we'll be talking about one team who undoubtedly got the short end of the stick. All that and more. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center, Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3.
Finally, it's here. The supermarket that Canal Street's been waiting for. Right between Canal and South Broad, the Big Easy Fresh Market is the locally owned, family-oriented market, complete with a cafe, a bakery, a deli, and some of the freshest produce and meats in town. Craving international food? No problem. The friendly staff will take care of your every need. Ready to start fresh? Make a note. The Big Easy Fresh Market, 2669 Canal Street. Like them on Facebook. Eat more fresh.
Medications can be scary sometimes, but necessary for our health and well-being. Lady of the Sea Community Pharmacy's staff are trained in finding you the lowest cost available on your medication. Stop by with your prescriptions or medicine bottles and let one of us review your options. Patients who take their medications as prescribed have better health outcomes. Stop by one of our pharmacies today, located in Rouse's Supermarket on Highway 3235 in La Rose, or at Lady of the Sea Medical Clinic in Cutoff. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
If you have a pest control problem, Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies has an experienced staff that can guide you with the products to use yourself for your home or business. They carry a full line of professional products for termites, mosquitoes, ants, wasps, fleas, bed bugs, mice and rats, or any other pest control needs you may have. That's Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies. Call 985-475-3314. That's Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies.
What is hope? Hope to me was just that he would get to come home. I had no idea how hard it would be once he got back.
I wish she'd stop drinking so much. She thinks it's helping, but it's not. I hope she sees that soon.
I act like I don't care if he comes to my games, but I hope he does.
I used to hope he'd find happiness again. Now I hope our marriage makes it.
I hope Grandpa will get help. He thinks it's too late, but it's not.
With everything that he's going through, I hope he sees a counselor. I just want my brother back.
I hoped he'd get help. Stop hoping things would get better on their own. He told me to stop asking. I didn't. Then one day he asked for a ride.
Hope is knowing there are other families just like yours, that the veterans they love got help and recovered. Go to maketheconnection.net and turn hope into action.
Hey everyone, it's Gus Cattingale. Join me weekdays from 12 to 3 as I host the Sports Hangover. We may not have daily games going on just yet, but we still have plenty to talk about. As the pro leagues and colleges work on plans on getting us back to action, we'll have the latest. Plus, we'll have special guests to speak about how to handle this trying time and also entertain you as well. It's the Sports Hangover, weekdays, 12 to 3, right here on ESPN New Orleans.
One segment to go. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. We want to thank Kyle Lesang, Chris Duga, and Keith Menard for joining us today. Interesting that the SEC released their schedules yesterday. They were supposed to, and I guess this is kind of where SEC fans kind of roll their eyes. The two added opponents initially when this was announced were supposed to be your next two, opposite division rotational opponents. Well, there's a problem with that. By doing that, Alabama would have been playing Florida, and both Alabama's AD and Florida's AD threw a conniption fit, threw themselves on the ground, and started to bicker and scream. So, the conference reneged on that, and they have announced the opponents that everyone will play. And it seems like they are creating a situation where it'll be easier for the league to, A, get a team into the playoffs, and B, maybe even get two teams into the playoffs. And here's what I mean. The powerhouse programs in the conference all pretty much got patsies. Alabama's going to be playing Kentucky and Missouri. LSU's going to be playing Missouri and Vanderbilt. Georgia's going to be playing Mississippi State and Arkansas. Florida's got it a little bit rougher. They're going to be playing Arkansas and Texas A&M. But some of the lesser teams in the league have a gauntlet. Arkansas is going to be adding Georgia and Florida to their schedule. And then some of the other, you know, lesser teams in the league are going to be playing some of those big powers. And it just looks like to me the league is saying, you know what, we're going to be devoid of some revenue. Let's just try to kick this can down the road and get some teams into the playoffs.
That's exactly what's going on. You know, we follow, I think it's Marty and McGee, and I was listening to those guys early this morning. And they were saying that they were getting a lot of write-ins from a lot of the SEC University fans saying our particular school drew the short end of the stick. And they said it's amazing. All of the schools were writing in saying, man, did you see the two teams we have to play? Man, did, you know, we got the short end of the stick. Well, here's what I have to say about that. If you were an LSU fan and you wrote in and you said you got the short end of the stick, shut up. That's one. And second, nobody got more of the short end of the stick than Missouri, because I don't know what they did to deserve what they got, but that's ridiculous to have Missouri having LSU and Alabama as the two teams they'll be playing. Could you, that coach better have a sense of humor, because that's really amazing. When I saw this, I had assumed LSU was going to be playing Tennessee and Kentucky, because I think that's the way it was going to shake out for next year. And so I kind of had assumed that. When I saw these two teams, and I saw LSU playing Vanderbilt in Missouri first and didn't realize what the rest of the league had going on, I thought to myself, well, they're setting up LSU. I wonder if it's, you know, and that's when I kind of scurried to find out the rest of the schedule. And then when I started seeing it, all I could do was smile and say, well, they set this thing up. I agree with you. It's to make sure that, you know, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Poor Vanderbilt, you know, those guys are sitting there probably going, unless there's like incentive money-wise in the way it's set up for them. But remember this, LSU played Vanderbilt like last year, you know.
Yeah.
So to play them again this year, you really are like, you really are turning the tables a little bit. So interesting. And for LSU, it really sets up well, because if you were going to tell me I had to play Vanderbilt and I had to play Missouri, which one would I prefer to play at home? Heck, I would take Missouri, just because I would think they're probably a little bit further advanced.
Oh, yeah.
Wise. So things play perfectly for LSU. And the funny thing is out of all of the coaches in the SEC, the one coach who would have said, I don't care who you put out there, would have been Coach O. He would have been the guy who would have said, you could throw whoever you want. You could give me Georgia, and I don't know if there's anybody else on that side that's really that good besides Georgia, because you're going to play Florida anyway. You could have given him Georgia and, I don't know, South Carolina or whatever, and he'd have been fine with that.
So a couple points. You said, what did Missouri do wrong? And, again, this speaks to – how they cherry pick this thing. Missouri is postseason ineligible. So they said, you know what? You can't go to the playoffs anyway. Play Alabama and LSU, take two losses.
Great point, Casey. I never considered that. I wasn't even thinking of that related to Missouri, but you hit it. Boy, if anybody thinks that this is not some kind of, I don't want to say conspiracy theory, but some kind of, there's a background to this, boy, you just said it right there. I agree with you 100%.
How about Arkansas? Arkansas was already going to be the worst team in the league, barring something unexpected happening. Here's their list of opponents. Alabama, LSU, Ole Miss, Tennessee, Auburn, Mississippi State, Missouri, Texas A&M, Georgia, and Florida. Like, find me a win in that schedule for poor Arkansas. They're going to get beat up on, and they're going to get beat up on often.
Well, one guy from Little Rock actually called in the Marty and McGee show, and he said, he was actually riding around the countryside of Arkansas aimlessly, wondering what they did to the football gods. So I think everybody in Argus. So the guy said, well, how do you think you might fare out in this? And the guy had the nerve to say 5-5. And I'm thinking 5-5? Boy, y'all, you better have made just a drastic jump in your talent and coaching level to get 5-5 with that schedule.
The only thing they win in five of is the coin toss, and they might not even do all that. But here's LSU's schedule for the upcoming season, just for anybody curious. At Arkansas, and this is not an order. Please know this is not an order. The order is going to come out in the coming days. At Arkansas, at Auburn, at Florida, home against Alabama, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and South Carolina, at Texas A&M, home against Missouri, at Vanderbilt. So that's the road to the championship for the Tigers, and they're hopeful to be making it to that December 19th date in Atlanta. It's going to be a long road to hoe. I mean, you got to play road games at Texas A&M, at Auburn, at Florida, got Alabama at home. But the two added games, as we said throughout this segment, could not be cushier. You get the home game against Missouri, the road game against Vanderbilt. Neither one of those games should be a problem. You're going to be favored by two touchdowns at least in both of those games.
Yeah, maybe even more against Vanderbilt, I would imagine. You know, the Vanderbilt game is not a big power ranking game for you. So I don't know if that would hurt in any way related to getting in at the end. But I would imagine if you're playing all SEC opponents, people are not going to look at it as, you know, they're not going to pinpoint that Vanderbilt was on your schedule. They're just going to say, this team played all SEC teams and look what they did. And I think he can help. Coach O wants to be at that level where he's really good, elite every year. This actually sets up well for 2 years back-to-back where they can be at the top of college football.
Amen. Well, we want to thank Stan for his time. We want to thank Truck in the studio for his time. Thanks to all of our calling guests. Thanks to everybody for listening. We'll be back next weekend, same time, same place, as we continue to get closer to the start of high school and college sports. It's been the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. Have a great rest of the weekend, guys. God bless.
Tired of your current vehicle? Ready for something fresh? Greg LeBlanc Toyota in Houma is having a trade-in sale.
Trade-in sale.
Even though you don't like your current vehicle, they want it. And we'll give you the low Greg LeBlanc Toyota pricing.
Plus, give you more for your trade.
Bring your trade and upgrade to the new 4Runner.